We would like to acknowledge and pay our respects to the traditional custodians of the land, the Wangal people of the Darug Nation, where we are recording this podcast. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging, and extend that respect to any Aboriginal and/or Torres Strait Islanders tuning into the podcast.
Wait, what's this podcast called again? Mad Chatter.
One, two, three.
Ni hao, and welcome to episode 3 of the Mad Chatter podcast. And we're laughing because we just spent 5 minutes before this podcast deciding which international greeting we should go with. I went Chinese. Thoughts, feelings?
I thought we were going to 2 hours, but that's okay.
I panicked.
We're live from China, so that's all good. But is Chinese the language, or isn't it Mandarin or Cantonese? Can you be a bit more specific?
I wish to not take questions at this time. I did not have answers. But I don't have answers, but I do have COVID. So just full disclosure, everybody, if this podcast is a little out of sync, a little weird, and if I sound like a man, it's because I am suffering spicy flu. But you two are safe. So that's the most important thing.
That's so true. That is all that matters. In everything that you just said, all that matters is that Maddie Turner and I are okay.
But we're still in separate rooms, just in case.
It's hilarious on this Zoom when there's a little delay and I'm like expecting a laugh and I just see you two just... it's a silent nod for 2 seconds and then there's a laugh. So it's like, I don't know if I'm reaching my audience like I want to be.
Is someone frozen? Are they just not finding me funny today? What is actually happening? But no, this is giving me a bit of PTSD being back in the Zoom room. I just, yeah, my comedic timing does not bode well in the land of the internet. And our Wi-Fi in our house is not that great either. So this could be a disaster, but it also could be the start of something brilliant.
Well, luckily for everyone listening today, we are going to do some pre-recorded stuff because we have a special guest this week. Now, let me preface, we are celebrating our heritage round. Again, I keep saying our. It's not our, it's your.
It is
it's
our.
Your Maddie, team.
We are one team. Last week we talked about Ash Barty saying it was all a team. We are all a team here at the True. New South Wales. It's New South Wales for a reason because we represent the entire New South Wales.
Look, anyway, yes, yeah, so back to this story. We are celebrating Heritage Round round 3 against the Magpies. That was all correct information, wasn't it?
Correct.
Just checking COVID brain.
That was all correct. All correct.
Yes. So we thought, actually, Prad, you had the brilliant idea of asking someone to appear on the podcast that was very special. For what reasons? Please explain.
Yes. Well, we thought Heritage Round. Why not get someone who has been in the netball game for, we just referred to a hot minute. She's been there for a hot couple of hours, I reckon. She has played across all 3 professional competitions in Australia. So the Commonwealth Bank Trophy, the ANZ Championship and the Suncorp Super Netball. And she has now transitioned into the world of coaching. She has seen a lot in her time as a netballer. She's seen the highs, she's seen the lows, she's lived it all. She's retired, she's come back and she's finally found herself on the illustrious bench of the New South Wales Swifts, sitting beside her sidekick, Bryony Akle, and it is none other than Rebecca Bully. So she has kindly given Maddie Turner and myself the time to chat. We're going to chew her ear off, put her in the hot seat for once, because she's often putting us in the hot seat, and ask her a few curly questions about her netball journey. So we're hoping you guys enjoy that chat.
That was like a perfect Channel 9 A Current Affair introduction.
That was so good. I was like, I want to listen.
Yeah. Well, Channel 9, actually no, Fox Netball or Fox Sports or KO if you're listening, you know where I am. I've said this once, I've said it again, first person to play a commentate. It's my calling.
It had that whole kind of like poetry of like you're building her up and then you're about to like drop the bombshell, but it's like until she got into drug deals. Like...
I mean, can we just, massive disclaimer, Beck Bully is not into drug dealing, but I get the similarities you were trying to create. Just guys, let's just remember again, Maddie has COVID, she has COVID, she's got COVID brain, she's got the foggy brain, but yes, sort of to what you said.
You know what I mean? It was just like, it was a bombshell coming after the end of the build up, the dramatic build up, okay, like the fall from grace, but Beck is anything.
The crescendo.
So should we recap on your fabulous tipping from last week and our challenges, of course?
Yes. Okay.
Our goals.
Our goals, sorry.
Well, what's yours, Turner?
I thought I had it and I stuffed it up. Mine was to buy the book that we are reading in book club, which I have actually done, and I am showing you now through Zoom.
What is it called, Maddie, for our listeners out there?
Someone... Oh, I was trying to read upside down. It's quite hard. Everyone in my family has killed someone.
Oh,
like kid pie, Maddie Proud.
Some light reading.
And it's not, you know, it's not chosen in any reason that it is close to home, but it's just an interesting title.
It's a bit of a murder mystery. I'm really enjoying it so far, but yeah, I have achieved my goal. So I failed the week before, but I have achieved this week, which is great.
Well done. One from one.
As have I.
Two from two.
As have I. I took a trip. Sorry, for those listening at home, I'm holding up Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. I took a trip to the library. I even was like, you know what? I'm going to go to the library for this because I wanted it to be a real experience. I wanted to have, like, you know, that nostalgia of stepping back. You know, it fits in again with this week being Heritage Round, but, like, stepping into the library, smelling the books, greeting the library lady, renewing my library membership, getting a new – well, actually, I didn't get a new library card because now it's all done on my phone. Had a quick scan in the library for Grace in the Court. They didn't have it. I did complain, but it's okay. And let's just say J.K. Rowling is not disappointing. I am living for every moment of this book, and I actually am, like, I'm thinking, one part of me is like, oh, my God, how could I have waited this long? But another part of me is like, thank God I waited this long because it is giving me a new lease on life, and I'm thoroughly, thoroughly enjoying it.
I am so proud of you.
I'm kind of jealous you're reading it for the first time.
That's what a lot of people have said.
I do like the reading from it at an older age, though, so you can, like, really take it in.
Yes, I feel like I'm and, you know, now, I don't know if you guys know, but now that I'm an author as well, I'm really understanding and appreciating, you know, the techniques she embodies. I've actually forgot it was for quite a young audience as well, so I'm sort of loving the fact that it is written for, like, teenagers, so it is very easy to read, but she's quite the genius, really.
Are you going to follow up with the movies after?
Yes, but I think I want to get through all the books first and then go back to the movies. Or, I don't know, I'll see how I go. I might go, like, one book, one movie, but, yeah, we'll see. That's quite the commitment, but I'll try and make that happen.
I can't wait for when we do a BuzzFeed quiz and we see the official house that you belong to. I mean, there is the Pottermore quiz, but it does take some time. Turner, have you done that?
No, sorry, I'm not that, like, I like the movies, I like the books, but I'm not that
I just realised how serious I sounded in that question.
You were dead. Yeah, like it was a normal thing that everyone.
You know
stopped.
Why? Because I have, of recent years, found out I'm in a different house to what I thought I was, and I don't like it.
Why? Are you a Hufflepuff? You're a Hufflepuff, aren't you?
I'm a Hufflepuff. I am. My name is Maddie, and I'm a Hufflepuff.
I haven't even got to the houses yet, so I've got a long way to go in my Harry Potter journey. So
I feel like you'd be a Ravenclaw, Matt.
I'm getting Ravenclaw.
Oh, okay. I love the unkindness of ravens, so this is fitting very nicely with that. I'm not mad about it. I don't really know much about Ravenclaw, but I'm, you know, the name's got a nice ring to it.
Well, at the end of the day, guys, she started Harry Potter, and that's two from two of our goals so far. And I'm going to make it three from three, guys. I don't think I got a speeding fine.
Maddie, one way for you to avoid getting a speeding fine, get COVID and be locked inside. So I hate that it's come to this circumstance for it to happen, but congrats.
I'm yet to check the mailbox. It could be sitting there. But so far, so good. So well done, guys. Round of applause for us.
Woo!
Zoom clap.
Yeah, that's one thing we're missing today is our little turntable board thing that can add our sound effects. Tall Boy and Wombat. Can we just have a moment's silence for Tall Boy and Wombat, who did not make it to this episode?
They're getting a rest.
They will be back, hopefully. But Mads, your tips as well. I think you were three from four, and the one downfall again was a certain team in red.
Yes, and I think I'm going to tip against you this week because maybe I'm the reason. I'm jinxing.
Go for it. You're definitely the reason.
Am I the drama?
Again, am I the drama?
I reckon you have said that in every one of our episodes is, am I the drama?
And it always works. It always works.
Well, 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 it's your lucky day. You don't have to listen to me for the next two segments as we are about to play our pre-recorded interview with the one and only Beck Bully.
Okay, so our first inaugural guest of Mad Chatter is the one and only Rebecca Bully. Beck has had quite the decorated career. She's played 42 caps for Australia. Also, just a little side note, these facts have come from Wikipedia, so if they're wrong, please correct us.
Oh, don't talk to my mum.
She will know everything.
Yeah, I was like, what was the net worth?
Yeah, the net worth on Wikipedia, I think, said 5 million and said one of the most highest paid female athletes. So I was like, oh, I don't know whether there's another big boy out there or whether your coaching career is paying a little bit more than we thought. But within that, those 42 caps for Australia, there was a gold at the World Cup for Australia in 2015, silver at the 2010 Com Games, and you had three premierships in the ANZ Championship, one in 2008 for the Swifts, one in 2013 with the Thunderbirds, where you played with a young girl by the name of Maddie Proud. Didn't have to play that grand final, but anyway. 2015 with the Firebirds. So started your career in the year 2000, I believe, at 17 years old for the Melbourne Kestrels in the CBT, so the Commonwealth Bank Trophy. And I think that's why we think you're such a great guest, is that you're probably one of not many players that have played across the Commonwealth Bank Trophy, the ANZ Championship, and Suncorp Super Netball as a mother as well, which was pretty impressive. So I think the first question, we can go to your childhood later, but we need to know, out of those premierships, which was the best, which meant the most, and
who celebrated the hardest?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I actually think that I can't pick one in particular, but there's two that I think were the most memorable and for completely different reasons. Number one was 2008 when I won with the Swifts. I think for me personally, that was a memorable premiership because I'd been through so much leading up to that. So just a little bit of context, I was playing with the Melbourne Kestrels, but when the ANZ Championship started, the Melbourne Phoenix and the Melbourne Kestrels combined to become the Melbourne Vixens. And I actually got the biggest setback in my career. Like, it was the biggest disappointment I'd ever faced, was I didn't get selected for that Vixens team.
Wow.
So, you know, I was just like, what am I going to do? Like, I think I was about 25 at the time. I'm like, oh, I don't want to retire. But, you know, there wasn't a lot of money in netball at the time. So there weren't many players that moved interstate for netball, but I was in the Australian squad at the time, and Liz Ellis just sort of said, oh, what are you doing next year? I'm like, oh, I don't know. I didn't make the Vixens.
So you're playing for Australia, but
I was playing for Australia, but I was in the Australian squad.
And you can't get a gig.
I understood why, but it was just really disappointing for me. But, you know, I didn't realise that Liz was going to retire, but then she obviously then talked to Julie Fitzgerald and said, oh, you should try and get Bet to come to Sydney. And it was like, that was a big move for me, like moving away from my family, you know, moving to Sydney to play netball. You know, so it was just, yeah, unbelievable. And I thought I'd just be like, oh, wow, you know, I get to train with Liz Ellis and Monia Gerard, but Monia went to Adelaide and Liz retired. So I got a starting spot in that team. And the other reason why it was so memorable was because no one picked us to make the top four, alone win the premiership. And, you know, I think we lost our first three games. Lost our first three games, but then after that we just clicked. I think we ended up winning the grand final by about like 14 goals or something.
That's so nice.
Actually got to enjoy it. But it was just that whole lead up, like that year before and then that season and then winning that premiership. And then that's when I actually went on to make my debut for Australia.
Wow.
So that was pretty memorable. And the other one I think was the Queensland Firebirds in 2015. Again, you know, there's a lot of things going on prior to going to the Queensland, to the Firebirds. And it was a pretty tough season for me. Like, I spent a lot of time on the bench, which is the first time I'd done that in my career. And I'd sort of come on in the second half of games. And, you know, I'd come on and play well, but then I'd go back to sitting on the bench. And, you know, there were some games that I didn't play at all. And then I knew that grand final was going to be my last game. And I was so nervous that I wouldn't get on the court. And I'm like, what if, you know, it's my last game and I don't even get on the court? And then when it was half time and the Firebirds were down, I'm like, oh, this is meant to be. Like, you know, if we were up, I wouldn't have got on the court. But because we were down, I'm like, oh, I'm not even nervous. And I'd supported the team the whole season. Like, I'd just, you know, always been on the bench cheering, giving feedback, whatever. And I'm just like, just something in me is just like, this is meant to be. I'm meant to come on and play this grand final in my last game. And I don't care what the result is, but I just want to know at the end of the game that I did everything I could possibly do to, you know, to play well and try and win that grand final. And literally it was pretty amazing because I think there was about 3 minutes to go and we were 5 goals down. And I remember thinking in my head, I'm like, oh, this is going to be tough. And, you know, you start to get a little bit panicked. I'm like, oh, well, you know, there's no point stressing about it. Don't worry about it. Just keep trying and see what happens. And literally with about 30 seconds to go, I think Gretel Tippett shot the winning goal.
Yeah, I still remember watching that.
It was
crazy.
Oh. Absolutely crazy. And the
crowd, and the crowd was just so loud. And you know, those when you're winning those circumstances, it's just absolutely like the best feeling. And, you know, I just had, I was under the stacks on, like, I was on the bottom of that, but it was just like, just awesome. Just that whole reaction to coming from behind, winning. And, you know, at the time I thought it was my last game. So yeah, that was pretty memorable as well.
I feel like we have to touch on the fact though, that, so it's in your last, what you thought was going to be your last season, and you're a bench player. I think that's pretty unique in the fact that a lot of players, not that you're a bench player, but you spend a lot of your time that season on the bench. I think a lot of players these days expect, you know, you come in and you have your first couple of years of maybe finding your feet, and then from then on you're going to play every game. And you've gone from winning World Cups and being in the Australian team and then ending up being a player that's still not in a starting seven. What, like, how did you find that? How did you kind of deal with that? And I guess what advice would you then give to players that do spend a lot of time on the bench and maybe haven't got their opportunities
yet? Yeah. Well, at that point, I hadn't won a World Cup. When I came to Queensland Firebirds, I went on to play in the World Cup and win that gold medal. But, yeah, look, it was definitely really tough. And to be honest, I actually went and saw a sports psych about it. And I hadn't really used a sports psych in my whole career. But, you know, I'd been from, you know, winning premierships and being a starting seven player, pretty much playing every single game, to not being on the court and not playing a lot of minutes. And I was kind of worried about what would everyone else think. Like, this is embarrassing. Like, you know, I'm sitting on the bench. And so I talked to this sports psych, and she's like, you know what, you don't have to worry about that. Like, you just, is this the way that you want to finish your career? Yeah. It doesn't matter what other people think. You've just got to make sure that when you get your opportunities, you're ready to go. And the other one, I talked to some other players that have been through that situation, like Kath Cox in her last career, that she was in that exact same situation. Yeah. And I just, you know, took that advice. And yeah, I'm so glad that, you know, I just supported the team, always did the right thing. And then when I got my opportunities, I came on and played well, because I wasn't stressing about, I should be on the court or anything. It was just like, you know what, if the team's winning, that's great. I don't need to be on the court. Mm. But when they were down, I was ready to go and wanted to come on and do well.
That's pretty cool.
I thought we need the whole team sitting here right now. I'm like, we're stealing you, but the Mad Chatter audience is getting a great exclusive and great insights.
Okay, I reckon we should take it back now to Beck as a kid. We know you're very competitive.
Yes. Yep.
Like, did you like kind of grow up knowing you wanted to be like involved with sport, or did it kind of just happen? Like, how was your journey into netball?
Well, growing up, I was really unco. Honestly, I used to fall over all the time. And it's still ingrained in my head. My mum saying, Beck, don't run, walk. It was usually too late because I'd already fallen over. And I loved reading books. Like, I was such a bookworm as well. But then, I started playing netball and I just loved it. Like, it was just so fun. I just couldn't wait to go to training. You know, it was a great way for me to get confidence, I guess. Like, it was something that I turned out I was quite good at.
Did you start as a shooter or defender?
No, I was always a defender. I think I was always just hanging around because my sister, who's a little bit older than me, she was playing, so I'd always be hanging around hoping someone wouldn't turn up so I'd get to play. But when you're a little bit younger, you know, you kind of got put into goalkeeper.
Not wing defence?
No, yeah, all wing defence, yeah. Absolutely loved it. And yes, I am very competitive. I always wanted to win, but I think that's kind of got me to where I got to. Absolutely. Yeah.
And so you then started with the Kestrels, but then went to the AIS. So talk about that, and then you played for the Darters as well while you're at the AIS. Is that how it works?
So I, when I was doing Year 12, I got a call up to the Kestrels. A player had retired. And so I pretty much, at that point, you know, you had a squad of 16, and I was in the team for a few games, and I just didn't even want to play. Like, I was so nervous. I sat on the bench like, please don't put me on, please don't put me on. I think I got 2 quarters in that first year. And then I went away to the AIS and spent 3 years at AIS under Norma Plummer, and I just learned so much from her. And whilst I was at AIS, the AIS Canberra Dardas was formed and was inserted into the Commonwealth Bank Trophy. So played a year for the Dardas, and then went back to the Kestrels after that.
And did you have to move? Were you living in Bendigo when you moved to Melbourne to play for the Kestrels, or were you in Melbourne at that
so
stage?
I was still in Bendigo. I moved to Canberra. When I was with the Kestrels, in my first year, I'd travel from Bendigo to Melbourne for trainings.
Every
year? Yeah. So in my year 12, it's probably why I didn't go very much. We were doing like 5 trips to Melbourne a week. And it wasn't just for Kestrels. It was for like state training, Kestrels. There was, state league, lots of things going on.
Can I ask
on.
How much, like, for your first year, what was like the base salary? Do you remember?
Oh, I can still remember because I thought it was so much. I got a sign-on fee of $2,000.
Wow. As a 17-year-old.
Yeah, I know.
Inflation as well.
$2,000 a sign-on, and I think I got maybe, I can't remember, it was like $100 a match.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But I thought that was like, I got paid. I got money. Like, that was, it was great.
But I guess, did you then think, you always probably would have had to have a backup in terms of netball could never be the number one thing? Is that how it worked?
Or look, you never had that intention that, I want to make netball my career. You just wanted to be the best you could be. Mm. It wasn't about, this is going to be my full-time job. Not at all. There was always, netball was, whilst it was your priority, you still had things outside of netball.
Very true.
Did you study while after school?
Yeah, always. Yeah, I went to uni. I actually did a sports coaching and administration degree.
Great choice.
And I only did it because it looked like fun. I had no intention of becoming a coach. But yes, and then worked full time while I was playing for the Kestrels, which, you'd go to work and then you'd finish work and you'd start training about 6 o'clock. You'd get home at like 9 o'clock at night, eat dinner, and then get up and go to work again the next day, and you're doing that 5 days a week. Yeah. Then, you work all day and then you've got to play a 7 o'clock game on a Friday night. It was tough, but you just didn't. It's what everyone did. Pretty fair amongst everyone.
Yeah, I feel like that's only recently changed. Like, I remember Abby McCulloch, my first year or second year, she was still working as a teacher, 9 to 3, would rock up at training as close as she could get, sort of thing, till 4, and then train all night and then go back to teaching the next day. Like, she was, I don't know how she managed that.
With your time at AIS, I think that's probably something that, now is probably not a place that kind of exists in the capacity that it did. And I know that you had a good time there. You met your husband there. Can you tell us a little bit about your time at AIS, and did you love it? What was it like? And kind of for those, I guess, maybe that don't know, people listening, what kind of went on when you lived at the AIS? Just tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it just meant I was at the AIS for 3 years and we're on scholarship. So, you got your meals provided, you got your room clean, you basically got to dedicate your time to netball. And it was, for me, it was awesome. I really think it shaped me as a player. I think it really taught me how hard you could train. And I still remember the captain at the time, Christy Doyle, at one training, she come up to me and she said, "Bec," she goes, "I think you're training hard." Sorry, no. "You think you're training hard, but you're actually not." You can train so much harder. But do you know what? As much as I was gutted to hear that, she was right. I thought I was training hard, but I actually wasn't. And so I was so determined after that. I'm like, all right, I'm going to train so hard. I'm going to get better. And you don't realize how hard you can push yourself. Yes. And so that was a great learning experience for me, going to the AIS. And I learned other things as well. I learned to be disciplined. I learned to be on time. I used to be the player that would rock up to training late. I actually remember.
Which is so unlike you now. I cannot imagine this thing.
Norma Plummer, she was really great with that. She was so strict. But my first training, I rocked up late. Because I was watching.
That was your first training.
I was it was might have been 2 minutes late, but if you're not 10 minutes early, you're already 5 minutes late. So I learned a lot of things when I was at AIS, and also met my husband, which still happily married.
Two kids now, so thank you, Canberra, for that.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny.
think winning three premierships in the three, well, sort of once, bar the Kestrels and Darters, then once you sort of entered ANZ, you win three premierships with three different teams. Firstly, are you the secret? And then you've come on, I guess, to win a premiership as a coach at the Swifts as well. Was there, I guess, common themes in terms of all these three teams that led them to be successful? Or do you think, you know, it's kind of that idea of what is the recipe to success? Was it individual for each team? Or was there, yeah, what do you think breeds success?
And besides
what
having best in the team.
Yes.
It's a key.
Well, I think a common thing for all the teams was we had a great culture. Mm. And I think that was set up by the players that we had in those teams. We had great leaders that also, you know, everyone kind of conformed to that as well. And it wasn't just your captain and your vice captain. The whole, like, the majority of the players were just great leaders. Like, we all, you know, led by example, worked really hard, and we all got along really well off the court too, which I think was really important. Yeah, and at the time, the coaches that we had as well, like, you know, they were great leaders. They instilled a lot of confidence into their players, but also gave the players a lot of ownership on what was happening within the team as well.
That's great.
Mm. I guess you talked about your biggest setback in terms of, like, not being picked in the Vixens, having to move. Like, I would have thought, you said you would have thought the biggest setback was, like, having a kid and coming back. Surely that was hard. Was that, like, a breeze for you?
Well, I didn't have any intention of coming back after Indy. Like, you know, after that premiership with the Firebirds, I then was selected into the World Cup team and then was actually pregnant at that World Cup.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So
did you know?
I did. I'd found out a couple of weeks before. All of a sudden, I just didn't feel like my coffee. And
oh,
I'm like,
no, that's the biggest sign.
Nauseous. How do I feel like my coffee? And then I'm like, maybe I'm pregnant. And anyway, so I was about nine, ten weeks pregnant when I played at the World Cup. And so that was amazing, like, way to go out, like, you know, won a World Cup, you know. And the whole reason why I was retiring was because I wanted to have a start a family, and then, you know, that was happening as well. So that was pretty exciting. Had no intention of coming back to play, but then, yeah, got the call from Julie Fitzgerald. I thought she was calling me about, like, to do some coaching or come in and do specialist coaching. I think she, yeah, explained that Christiana had snapped her Achilles and would I come back and play. And I actually thought she was joking. Like surely, yeah. Like, as if you'd want me. Like, I think I was 36. Indy was, like, about 7 months old. Hadn't done any training in the last 7 months, like, you know, hadn't really done much. But, of course, Julie Fitzgerald doesn't take no for about anything. And then, you know, I hung up the phone. I said, all right, I'll think about it. And I sort of, we're in the car and I looked at Randall thinking he'd say, like, don't be stupid. Yeah. And he's like, do you know what? I think you can do it. I think you've just got to get fit.
And luckily, you don't seem to have too many problems with that.
Yeah, when you came back home. But, like, I really remember that because I think that was so awesome for me, was to have my husband to just straight away go, I think you can do it, you know, because I dedicated so much of my life to netball. You know, I thought now was the time to dedicate it to family, but he was the one supporting me and just giving me a kick up the bum to say, you just got to get fit.
I mean, I think we appreciate it. We loved having Indy upstairs to, like, hang around with. I mean, it's good that we got to see her kind of grow up and, like, being in the hub last year.
Well, yeah. I actually think it made me a better player because I was so more balanced. Mm. Like, it wasn't just about netball. That wasn't my whole focus. It was, like, as soon as I finished a game, you know, Indy was there, you know, she wanted me, and, you know, you could kind of forget about what was happening. You know.
So that's what we need to do.
Yes, we need to have some kids, and then we can stop worrying about that.
We just have a life outside of netball, which I think you guys do. You don't have to worry.
Well, I think you kind of set the trend. I feel like since you came back, I feel like there's been so many other moms that have, like, come back, which I think is really cool. And it's kind of seeing, like, yeah, people can still have families and
be professional?
Well, that was my motivation, was number one. Well, I didn't want to embarrass myself because I didn't want to be that old slow mum running around the court that everyone's like, oh, I can't believe she's still playing. But number two, like, I wanted to prove a point that you can have a baby and you can have a comeback to elite sport and you still can be successful at that, because I think in the past there were a lot of players that, you know, probably would have liked to have come back, but for coaches it was probably like that almost was too much baggage. But, you know, we can still contribute and make a worthwhile contribution, and, you know, teams can still be successful.
Oh, definitely. I think you went to the grand final that year, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right. We did. Yeah. So, yeah, and I just, you know, I'm always so, you know, glad when I see mums still playing netball, you know, like Gretel, Kim Rav, like April Branley, like, you know, Ash Braz, like there's so many players that have come back after having kids, and I think that's awesome.
Absolutely.
We're a women's sport. Let's celebrate that.
Yeah. Could not agree more. Right, I guess, where would you see netball in 10 years? Like, where would you want to see it?
You've seen it over a few years. Where do you think it can go?
Maybe not 10 years. Maybe like 5 years. Maybe we'll go smaller.
Look, I think, you know, obviously I would like to see netballers get paid more. I'd like to see, you know, you guys getting the equivalent of what rugby league Aussie rules players are getting. But also, I guess I'd like to see the levels below start getting paid. Like at the moment, basically only Suncorp netballers get paid, or Diamonds or international players get paid. There's, you know, zero money for the players in the level below. So I'd love to see that starting to filter down to those players. And also I'd love to see, you know, equal media coverage for women in sport. Yeah, I think that would be awesome, and that's where I'd love to see the game go. And the third thing is I would like to see the game grow internationally. So I'd love to see more nations playing it, but also the standard in nations sort of coming up to par with the top four nations.
I think last question before maybe we go into some more quick fire, but we can't not talk about your transition into coaching. Obviously, you said that you did study that, but was that always the dream? And was the dream always to coach professionally? And sort of how did you find, you know, that transition from playing to coaching? Was it as easy as you thought, or was it harder being, you know, not being able to make that impact on the court and having to do it from the sidelines? Or I guess, yeah, what have been the biggest learnings from becoming a coach as well?
Yeah, it wasn't really my intention to go into coaching. Like, that's not why I did my course. I just thought it sounded like fun and was got to do all these different sports. And there's a high-profile AFL football coach that was one of the lecturers. I'm like, oh, that'd be cool.
Might meet some AFL players.
The worst of AFL footballers in the course, man. Maybe you should do that
course. I'm signing up.
But I did always enjoy coaching, but I did a lot of coaching at the grassroots level for, you know, young kids like NetSetGo and stuff like that, which I really enjoyed. Then when I retired, I was lucky enough to be given a head coach role in the New South Wales Premier League for North Shore United, and I absolutely loved it because I still got to be a part of a team, which is what I love. Like, I got all that camaraderie and that connection, and just, it was so much fun, but I didn't have to do all the training and all the hard work. And yeah, sometimes it is hard sitting on the bench because you can't be the one out there, and you just, you know, but you have to contribute in other ways, and that's by, you know, trying to remain calm, relaxed, and just analyse what's happening and, you know, giving feedback, but also giving players confidence to do what they do well.
And I think at training, anyone that's come to a Swiss training, Beck does get on the court. I think you did some front cuts around the circle today, and I was like, you could be playing still. So, no, I think we're very, very lucky to have you.
And Beck also does a good job of, like, getting in your head. You're like, there's a little voice in there when something happens on the court. You're like, oh, Beck wouldn't have liked that.
You know you've won as a coach when you become the conscience of the head.
I always try and think, what would I have done if I was in that situation? Or as a player, what would I have liked to happen? And I guess I try... And, yeah, think about as a player, and then put that into my coaching.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, so we go into some tough quick-fire ones? So these, obviously, like, you can answer them, like, you can detailed, but the idea is to kind of just not think and just go straight away. Gosh.
Okay.
So first up, toughest opponent you've ever played on?
Gretel Tippett. Or Boetta, sorry, Gretel Boetta.
All right, favourite team you've played for?
Swiss.
Good answer. Favourite circle partner, so who you played with in the defensive circle?
Oh, can I have two?
Yeah.
Sonia McClomart, Laura Geitz.
Bad choices.
Favourite coach?
Julie Fitzgerald.
This one might require a bit more of an answer, but best advice you ever received?
Oh, I can't remember. I don't even know who said it to me, but someone said, like, just never give up. Like, if you believe in yourself, just don't give up. You've got to keep believing in yourself. Oh, it might be Liz Ellis, actually. I know, I do know. Liz Ellis gave me that advice. Answer,
yeah.
Yeah, I think it was when, you know, that setback with the Vixens and, you know, it was that World Cup selection and she just said to me, like, don't give up. Like, you know, I think she gave me the confidence that, you know, just because I didn't make Vixens didn't mean I'd never reach my goal of playing for Australia. That's huge.
All right, so you wish you told your younger self?
Don't be an idiot.
Can you tell me that too? Love that. We're going to ask hardest player currently, but you've said Greta when she's still playing, so that makes sense. If you could have played one position other than defensive, what would it be?
Wing attack.
Hence what I saw today. Your front cuts onto the circle. That makes perfect
you
sense.
You get to attack, but you don't have the pressure of shooting goals.
That's what I want to do too. Yeah. I agree. I'm with that. Do you have any pre-game rituals or superstitions?
Or do I?
Both.
Okay. Did I? Well, I think I used to always wear the same sports bra.
Yeah.
Do I now? Oh, just to make sure my hair is on point.
You do a good job. Yeah. And now you've started braiding Sarah Cloud's hair, so that could become a new ritual, which is great. Well, our favourite part about netball sometimes is the post-match meal. You get to go, you know, they tell you that it doesn't matter about what you eat, it's just about getting some calories in. What would have been your go-to post-match meal?
Glass of wine.
Perfect. Alright, we're going to finish with some quick, like, you've got two options, so you've only got one or the other. So, coaching or playing?
Playing.
Yeah, good answer.
Swifts or Giants?
Swifts.
Like, Adelaide or Queensland? It's a state in the city, but...
Adelaide.
Good choice.
Super Shot, no Super Shot?
Super Shot.
Proud or Turner?
Turner.
Yeah, I knew you'd say that.
Oh, I wanted to ask it.
So that's true.
Forward.
That's true. It's always
going to
bite
us
me the ass.
Yeah,
we've got
to stick
together. Five. Well, Beck, honestly, though, we cannot thank you enough for today. We, just love having you at the Swifts. We love the knowledge you've been able to share. And I think that, you're definitely one of those players that has left the sport in a better place than you found it. And I think what we said about the trailblazing for, you know, people coming back after having kids, you've been an inspiration. So
I know. I think we need to get the whole team.
I know. I'm feeling inspired.
Again?
And I think you're going to add to Gray's achievements being the first guest ever on the Mad Chatter podcast.
That would definitely be my highlight of my career so far.
And you're back in the room with us three Maddies. So for this next segment, Maddie Turner, please explain to the people what we're going to get into.
We thought we'd stick with the old heritage round and throw back to our childhood and kind of discuss what has made us us?
So, yes, I think that maybe we should start off by going through a little bit about what made us be who we are in terms of what we grew up with, what our family situations were, and, how that shaped us. So who wants to kick things off?
I think Turner should kick us off. She looks very excited on this Zoom.
I'm going to go jump straight to school sort of thing. I've got a question. Involves food because, again, all my questions probably involve food. You're ordering something from the tuck shop. What are you ordering?
Depends how many silver coins I've been able to scab off of my friends. So if I've got 25 cents, I'm going a little paddle pop. If I've got 50 cents, I'm going a Slippery Sam.
I've
got 75 cents. A Slippery Sam. Did you ever not have them? The little ice blocks. It was like a green, like, kind of like a Calypso sort of one, but it was like a green one. And it was like lime flavored. Calippo, that's the one. But it was like that, but it was green and it tasted like lime and it was delicious.
No, I ask this with, like, sincerity. Is that an Adelaide thing?
Did you know what a Slippery Sam was, Maddie?
I don't know. Nah, but I liked your enthusiasm.
That also shows my age that you could buy an ice block for 25 cents back when I went to school.
I did love a good Sunny Boy.
Yum. Yum.
Wow, what schools were you guys going to? Are we talking primary or
This was school? Primary school that I'm reflecting on.
Yeah. Primary school, tuck shop, like, that's primary, isn't it?
Well, we had a canteen, but the only thing you could get was, like, you could do a milk or a juice order in the morning, and then every Monday you could either get, like, nuggets or a pie.
Wow.
What?
And then sometimes on school discos, they would give out packets of chips and Zooper Doopers.
Oh, my God, you were deprived. We used to get those little race car lollies as well. Like, Maddie Turner, you know I don't like lollies, but the little race car ones, I would love them. Love, love, love them. So I guess that then the other association I have with primary school is handball. Did you guys get to school? This is another question. Will you guys get to school early, get to school on time, or get to school late? I will say I got to school early just so I could play handball. Loved it and was, would cry if I couldn't get to school early. I would sometimes even ask mum if I could go to before school care just so I could get an extra game of handball in.
I'm concerned.
I was definitely early. I don't know if it was for handball, but I did love to be part of the handball crew because the boys were playing handball and you're like, I want to be cool like the boys. Was I any good? Probably up for debate. Did you play the whole four corner, like the four stages where you were like,
King, Queen, Jack, Dunce.
Yeah, and sloggings.
We had like all of that. Lobs, icebergs, like in tow.
And did you do like tea party?
Liners, like all of that, all of that.
What? Wait, sorry, tea party.
Did you have to like sit down?
Elaborate, Turner. Okay, elaborate. No, I think we did play that. Like it was the version while you were sitting down. You'd play while you were sitting down. Yeah. We did play that too.
Yeah.
You know what? It was big at our school too. If you weren't handballing. Skipping.
Yes. Skipping.
Like double Dutch skipping.
Yeah. We did a lot of that.
What's that Disney movie? Jump on it?
Jump in. Isn't it with Corbin Bleu from High School
you
Musical?
You gotta push it to the limit, because we're in it to win.
Did you guys have any like really like irrational like fears or like weird like traits as a kid?
Yeah.
Like the reason I say this is like because I had this weird thing for a couple of years, and I think I've told you this, Maddie Turner, because it relates to what your dad does, but I had this real fear of like my house burning down to the point where like I would pack a bag every night and like get my mum's wallet, get my dad's like stuff, like get anything that I thought was really important and like put it in this little bag. And I can still picture what the bag, and like I would have been like six, but I can picture what the bag looks like, and I remember so vividly this one night that my family had like people over and it was like late at night, and I've gone up to my mum and I'm like asking her like, where's your wallet? And she's like, what's going on, Madeline? And I'm like, I'm just, the house is going to burn down. She's like, Maddie, it is pouring with rain outside. Like, the house is not going to burn down. But I think it stemmed from this one night that the fire alarm went off and no one in the house woke up except me. So I think I took it, and like, it was a false alarm, but I took it then as like my responsibility to be like, I'm the only one that's going to know that this house is on fire. So it is my role to make sure that this doesn't happen.
Okay, I was not that extreme. And didn't you sleep with a cricket bat next to you?
I still do. I sat with a baseball bat for a while, cricket bat. Now I, like, always make sure I've got something. And then my fear then was, like, well, okay, I'm protected, but then what if the robber comes in and I actually kill the robber? Then I get in trouble. Like, I went through, like, all these thoughts in my head, like, every
single time. So you downgraded from a bigger bat to a smaller bat.
Yeah, now I'm like, sure I just want to harm them. I don't want to kill them.
Turner, did you have any? I know I did. I did, and I almost still do.
Oh, I feel like my bug thing is still a real thing. I just got proud to kill a spider last night. I had to knock on her door, and I was like...
and I was so comfy.
She just started Harry Potter, and I knocked on her door saying, hey, Dad, can you get the spider? And I didn't have any bug... If I have bug spray, I'm good, but I didn't have bug spray, and so I was trying to kill it with deodorant.
I've done that.
This is probably me trying to make a point as well, but this is how pathetic the spider was to the point where I grabbed it with my hand. Like, I grabbed it off and, like, pinched it and then just put it in the bin and, like, kind of just, like, huffed as I was doing so because I was so into my book and so off her having to get me out of bed for it that I was like, I'm just going to...
And I did not care one bit because she still got the spider for me, so I was still happy.
I can't judge too much because I am a wimp when it comes to spiders, as recent events would show, Turner, when you literally said the words, do you need me to call you for moral support as you kill this spider? And I was like, I actually might.
I was like, I understand.
Yeah.
I don't.
But no, I don't like bugs and I don't do spiders. But
so when did the dinosaur thing kick in?
Actually, this all kind of makes sense in a way because the dinosaur fear did kick in when I was young, but I also have a really bad irrational fear of the Chinese dragon.
Oh, for like Chinese New Year. But let's unpack this even further. You chose to say ni hao to start this podcast.
I actually like it's a phobia so much that we used to traditionally go to Bankstown and get Vietnamese pho growing up. But as we grew up, I realised that Chinese New Year occurred around January, so we have to avoid that area during January so I didn't have to
experience get that, the dragon. My sister has, I don't know why, still has the same fear of, like, people dressed up as characters, and even, like, there used to be, like, some stuffed big bananas in a shop, and she was petrified, like petrified of Santa, like anything that had like a big head. Nah.
So she'd be scared of Sporty Swift. Sporty Swift, she'd be scared of
so
that.
So I understand. Yeah, exactly. So I understand the dragon thing.
The dragon just, they came up in my grill one day as a young girl. Like I was really little and it came up in my face and the drums were there. It was like time stopped and this dragon was looking into my soul. So that's probably why I have that fear of that dog thing in, what's that movie? Never Ending Story. It all makes sense.
It does look like it.
So next time you see one of us, do not bring out a spider, do not bring out a dragon, and do not bring out a goat because we will all be afraid.
It's quarter four time and we're going to play a very special new game called... This is my theme. Wow, what a crazy great opener. Turner, please take us through the game so we can all forget about that opener.
All right, well, we're sticking with the theme of nostalgia, so we thought we'd throw it back to some of our childhood, some 90s, early 2000s TV shows, our TV openers. So we're going with the theme songs. And it's going to be up to Media Maddie and Flash Mob Matt. Oh, no, they're the same person.
They are the same person.
And Maddie Proud.
You think they're going to win?
You can tell who I think is going to win. And Maddie Proud to compete. They're going to type it in on their chat box on Zoom and come up.
Oh, this is testing my touch typing skills. Lucky I used to play that typing game at school.
Yep, so they're going to type in their answers and then hopefully someone will come up with the answer and I'll read them out. I feel like... I'll throw in a few curveballs, but I might start off easy and see how we go from there. Sound okay, guys?
Are we talking like children's shows or just shows from those that era?
No, I'm going full, full youth. We're going just children's shows.
So not like a Dawson's Creek that came out in the 90s. You're going to go shows that we would have been watching as kids.
Yes, I know you probably would have been watching Dawson's Creek as a child, but...
Of course.
But no, we're just going to stick to... But, yeah, cartoon characters, so I'm sure Flashmob Maddie's probably had a few crushes in there.
I didn't like cartoons that much. This is going to be hard for me.
Not all cartoons. Don't worry, Mads.
Probably, like, pre the age of 10, yeah. And then as I got older, I was like, Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, and that's so Raven and stuff. But anyway, all right. Let's get into the game.
No spoilers, please.
No excuses. All right,
All right.
I've all of a sudden forgotten how to type.
Okay, I'm in. Did that work?
Well, I had these books and everything. I couldn't type. That was like pretty much hard for lyrics. I had all of these books, actually. I was obsessed.
Okay, I've got a lot of... I don't think anyone spelled anything right. The panic typing is real. I'm giving it to Media Maddie because she was first and she gave caps locks.
I said for going round. I was like, round twist. But also, can we just talk about this show?
Do you said
the episode
R-T-O-U-N.
I got nervous. I didn't have autocorrect. But do you guys remember the episode of Round the Twist when the son gets pregnant?
Yes.
Sorry?
It was so weird. Like, they had some weird... Like, one of the... Like, I can't remember what the son's name was, but, like, one of the boys in the show from the Round the Twist family got pregnant. Like, that was what the episode was. He had, like, a baby.
That is not the Round the Twist
I
remember.
It was weird. It was weird.
All right, are you ready for the next one?
Yes, but... You're relaxed and feeling good. Next thing that you know, you throwing me.
Oh, I don't know.
This is absolutely throwing me.
I don't know, but it's funky. Nothing is coming to
Oh.
I've got it. It's because the lyrics were in.
He couldn't say it in there.
The name was in the... Oh, I kept listening. I was like, it's in there.
Is it right?
I watched a few episodes of this, but...
Sorry, that was a very... I went from easy. Yeah, Magical Bus is right. I can't believe you didn't know that.
I don't think I've ever seen it. Though, sure. I don't think I've ever seen it.
Yes, okay, one each. Here we go. Round number three.
I'll introduce my friends to you. Oh, no, it's Minnie Pearl.
I don't know.
I wrote the wrong person. But my mum as a kid, this is another photo that I'm putting up on the socials of Bad Chatter, is my mum looked exactly like Angela Anaconda as a kid. I have got like the side-by-side photo of Angela Anaconda and my mum as a kid, and they are honestly, like, it's as if someone's seen my mum as a kid and then gone, I'm making a character and calling him Angela
Anaconda. Oh my God, I can't believe you typed in the wrong name first.
I typed nitty poo because I got so excited. One of my friends.
You sent me those photos. It's uncanny.
It's ridiculous. And then there's actually photos. There's actually photos of my dad that then he also looks like Angela Anaconda, which is disturbing. But anyway.
All right. Another toughie. 2-1.
I've already got it, baby.
Oh my god, I know it.
It's the right. Maddie's got it.
I got it. 5 minutes too late.
Oh. Did you guys ever watch Rugrats All Grown Up? Because if we're going to talk about having crushes on cartoons, I had the biggest crush on Tommy Pickle once he grew up. Oh, Tommy. My god. Such a crush.
All right. So, 3-1.
Yeah, baby.
Someone think... This could be a blowout here. She's making up for a One Direction in episode one.
I had to redeem myself.
I do have COVID, so...
Excuses!
All over the world. You see, my dad hosts his nature show.
Oh!
And my mom shoots it. Okay.
I got it too!
I got it, didn't I?
And the winner is... Flash Mob Maddie.
Woo! What?!
Wild Thornberries.
She was quicker.
Oh, but it was. I thought you meant no, as in like it wasn't the Wild Thornberries. I was like, come on.
Oh, no. You got it. Great TV show, too.
That is a great TV show. I just could not type fast enough. And Thornberries is a long word to type.
Well, she bet you.
So what's that? 4-2.
3-2. Don't get ahead of yourself there.
Oh, 3-2. But it's first 2-5. Okay.
All right. I can feel a comeback coming on.
I think I'm going to take a stab in the dark. But I'm just guessing.
Did I get it?
No. Oh, my God.
Oh, guys. What?
Oh, okay, we've had Saddle Club and Blue Water High.
It's not Saddle Club.
Keep listening.
Oh, I love Blue Water High, but no. I know this. Oh my god! It's jumping guys.
I actually don't know. Is it that?
Keep playing. We have a winner. Well, Lizzie McGuire.
Oh, I was like, I know the voice. I was like, I kept thinking it was Buddy Miley Cyrus. I was like, it's not Hannah Montana. I was like, who is that voice? I know Hilary Duff's voice. Oh, that killed me. Damn it.
Oh, that's a bit awkward. Now, 3-all.
That is embarrassing. I'm so. Mind you, I actually didn't watch that much Lizzie McGuire TV show when I was younger.
No, neither.
Listeners might think that we're...
I was too busy being a tomboy.
Same. Too busy watching Rocket Power.
Okay. All right. 3-all. Round 7. Here we go.
One fine day with a wolf and a purr, a baby was born in a cause of the...
I got it.
Flash Mob Maddie has got it. You're too slow, Brown.
Alone in
too
the world
slow.
With a little cat dog.
Oh. Yes, cat dog.
It was it cat dog?
Theme song.
Alone in the world with a little cat dog. Dun, 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 dun. One fine day with a black dog. Oh, that was so annoying.
That's a great TV show.
But I'm victorious, and that is what's important here.
That's true. No, you got one more. 4-3. 4-3. I'm not down and out.
Oh, I thought it was first to 7.
First to 5.
As no, first to 5,
you have
does.
To get to the 5. You're only at 4.
Oh, first to 5. Oh, yeah. And I also just realised first to 7, I'm on 4. So that's a bit of COVID brain and a bit of
again,
problems that I have.
Blaming it on this airborne disease.
All right, here we go. Round 8, and hopefully, potentially, another decider.
Don't say hopefully.
She said what she said.
I've kind of set it up, so you better get this one.
Oh.
Oh my god.
Oh.
I've got it.
Did she?
Yep, she has got it. The Amanda Show.
Knock. Who's there? A fish? I'm going to hit you across the head with a fish.
Amanda, please. Oh my god, iconic.
My favourite thing about this thing is how many panic types.
I know. I can't. I get too nervous.
Panic touch.
Do you know what?
Well, I think we have another winner. Hey, Mads, just reflecting back to episode one, I think Maddie won a game in that one too, wasn't it?
Be right back, drowning my sorrows.
Woo! So that's 2 games from 2.
Yeah.
You might have to sub out and be both.
I think that way I just can't lose. So, all right, guys, just going to go. Actually, you know what? I was too busy playing outside, being active. I wasn't out, you know, just sitting in front of the TV. I was, you know, playing Australian Idol and, you know, packing my bag.
Obviously not practicing her touch typing, that's for sure.
I was packing my bag to avoid the fires. There was lots going on.
It's finally time for the cool down, and we're going to be it's going to be a quick one today because one of us is slowly deteriorating. So let's go through our gains, obstructions, and goals. Maddie Proud, hit us.
All right. My gain was starting Harry Potter and a fire being ignited within me. Life-changing, life-altering, all of the above. Into my obstructions, I'm just going to just stay with me. Obstruction is, I don't know why you're deteriorating when I'm the one that just lost that game again. That wasn't going to be my obstruction, but it kind of is now. I've had a bit of a rough week again. I got severe tape cuts from our game on the weekend, and like tape cuts are kind of like in the same basket as like blisters on your feet and just feel horrific. So having to get them strapped again for today for training, any sort of dorsiflexion was just not having it. I also felt like I got a bit of a headache after training today because we trained at KRA during the day, but also with the lights on, to the point where at one stage Bryony was like, Maddie, what are you looking at? And I was like, I'm looking at you, Bryony, but like the lights were all so distorted that like I couldn't kind of keep my eyes still. She said just like I was looking around at everything and made it like I was really bored at training. I promise, Bryony, I wasn't.
Maybe we should invest in the Mason Cox goggles.
That could be a poll.
In the sunnies.
Should we bring the Mason Cox sunnies to netball?
Side note, I just really love how niche and elite athlete problems those were.
I know. Poor people out there.
Yes, same.
You know, you with COVID and other people.
Oh, I better change my instructions because they're very similar.
And my goal is to finish Harry Potter, the first Harry Potter, so I can start the second one. But also reading Harry Potter has gotten me, you know, a bit inspired, and I have not written for a long time. Mm. So my goal between now and next episode is just what I write, I don't really care. I just need to get back into the routine of doing some writing because, as I mentioned earlier, I am an author.
Love that. Love that. Good from you.
So fancy.
Maddie Turner, thanks, hit us.
All right. My gains is that we're not stumbling over gains, obstructions, and goals anymore. Like, we've actually got the flow of it. We're just not stumbling anymore. We're not calling it challenge. We're calling it gains, obstructions, goals. Like, we've got it down pat, which is about time. Episode 3, we've done it. We've nailed it. Obstruction, I feel like, Media Matter, you would also agree with this one, is, like, having to wash your hair at night and going to bed, but you don't want to go with it wet, but you don't want to dry it with a hairdryer because then it goes frizzy.
You had me at... You're having to wash your hair at night. Yes, girl. I'm with you.
See, Maddie Proud. Yeah, Maddie Proud cannot relate to
curly girl
this,
problems.
Yeah, going to bed with wet hair, with curly wet hair. Because you,
again,
if you dry it with a hairdryer, it ends up like huge. So you don't want to do that, but then.
Hagrid.
Exactly, Hagrid. Harry Potter theme. She loves Harry Potter at the moment.
All right, you get a treat for every time you like. Somehow weave a Harry Potter reference into just day to day conversation.
Done. Challenge accepted. Challenge accepted.
All right. And then my goals, I don't know if you've seen, but the Swifts are partnered with Share the Dignity. So my goal is going to be to donate to the Share the Dignity because we have a box in our change room. And I think, yeah, that's going to be my goal this week is to give back to that.
That's really wholesome.
Very, very charitable. Very wholesome. Well done, Mads. Proud of you for that.
Yeah.
Mine's a little bit like not writing my own book sort of thing. Can't go down there.
Not everyone can do that, it's fine.
I feel like I just need to go, like, rewrite mine. Like, my obstruction is that I don't have enough money to give to charity. I can't get to the soup kitchen this week. Okay, let me just read out my stupid ones that I actually do have. My gain. For some reason, I've written it down as high. Would be finishing Bridgerton, which is kind of a not a great thing, but also a great thing. But I really enjoyed it, especially Anthony Bridgerton. Standards are even higher than normal.
Did you like season 2 better than season 1?
I can't even remember season 1. But true. I have called Anthony from the very beginning as love of my life.
He's a dreamboat.
Yeah. So I'll go that for my goal. My obstruction would be spicy flu. Naturally. I really thought I was superhuman. I thought I was a cure. I thought I was the one in a million that wasn't getting it. But here I am. And my challenge... I know. And my challenge...
your goal.
I've literally written down... like,
no, it's your goal.
No, this is my challenge.
No, it's called your goal.
My game is just gone for
the brain. Foggy brain.
My goal, I actually have written down here, and I don't think I realised when I wrote it down, like I must have been having a low point, and it's like not to have a mental breakdown. But I've also got read 2 chapters of a book. So once I found out I was here, my housemate, who is a big reader, he was like, you could read a book. And I was like, I could, but I won't promise anything. So he threw a couple at me. I'm going to try and aim for 2 chapters of a book.
Which one?
Which one have you chosen?
It is the biography of Jennifer Saunders. You guys familiar? She is the voice of the fairy godmother in Trek 2.
Oh, Ab Fab. Wow.
Ab Fab?
Yep.
Ab Fab Ben. Yeah. Yeah, French and Saunders. Yep. Yep. So iconic comedian. Good. Yes. So they're mine for the week. Brilliant. And we just need to do our tips now. Tips.
I just want you to, I think just give us who you're tipping in terms of team. Let's just scratch the score because you can't get that right. So we'll make it easier for you.
And we're going to add another element though. Obviously we saw the debacle last week with a lot of players out with COVID. You have to guess how many players will be out this week with COVID. And not that that's something we should be joking about, not something fun, but it is something that we can try and have a guess.
All right. Vixens, Giants.
Vixens, I'm going to say.
Swifts, Magpies.
Now, I'm going to say Magpies because we're trialing this jinx thing because I keep tipping you guys and you're the only ones letting me down. So I'm going to say Magpies. My heart says Swifts, but I'm not going to tell the universe that. I'm not going to tell the universe.
Actually, I forgot to say that my goal was going to be as well to do some sort of like shirt front on Sophie Garbin during the game on the weekend.
Too many goals, Mad. So many goals.
It's going to be a big week.
All right, Firebirds Fever.
Oh, that'll be a good game, but I think I'm going to say Fever.
Thunderbirds, Lightning.
Thunderbirds.
And then, how many with a spicy cough?
Oh, I really hope nobody, but I'm going to say 2 this week. I feel like it's going to be a bit of a low week.
I like that from you.
So I guess that wraps up another podcast. Make sure you like, subscribe, and what was the other one, Mads? Comment?
Comment, yes. Please comment.
And as always, Maddie Proud, how do we finish off our podcast?
Perfect podcast don't exist.